Claim Bible Church, good morning. How are we doing this morning? Listen, it is good to be with you guys again. My name is Eric, one of the pastors around here. And so if you got a Bible with you, go ahead and turn to Psalm 95. While you turn, first of all, shout out to our locations, Arlington, Prince William, Loudoun County, Montgomery County, everybody who's watching online. And then also while you turn, quick announcement, we'll be having our church family meeting this coming Wednesday at 7 p.m. And so excited about that. During that meeting, we'll be voting about our budget and also new members as well. So especially if you are a member, you don't want to miss that. And if you need a copy of our budget, proposed budget, those are at the in the lobbies of any location that you attend this morning. All right. So listen, this week, our next 3 weeks, you've seen the bumper. We're in the middle of a series titled God in the Highs and Lows. And so this morning, we're in Psalm 95. And so what I'm going to do is that I'm going to read the text. We're going to pray, and then we're going to see what God has for us. Amen? Amen. All right, let's do this. Psalm 95, verse 1. Here it is. It says, "Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hands are the depths of the earth. The heights of the mountains are his also. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the sheep of his hand. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as at Meribah, as on the day at Massa in the wilderness, when your fathers put me to the test and put me to the proof, though they had seen my work. For 40 years I loathed that generation and said, they are a people who go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. Therefore, I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest." Amen. And this is the word of the Lord. Amen. Now, let's take a moment. Let's pray together this morning. Lord, we love you. And we thank you that we got a reason this morning to praise you. Yes. You have been so good to us. And so, God, I pray, as we sit beneath your word and hear your word this morning, that we'll respond to your word appropriately in faith and obedience to the glory of your great name. We love you. And I pray these things in the name of Jesus. If you agree, say
amen.
Amen. McLean Bible Church, I'm here to share with you a dad fail that I had. Well, this was a few years back. I took my kids to a theme park. And there at that theme park, I decided that it was time. And it was time for my oldest child, who was around 7 at the time. It was time for him to ride his first big boy roller coaster. Y'all, this is the kind that clicks and clacks all the way to the top. And then you drop and you dip and you roll and your stomach feels like it's dropped to your socks. And I decided that it was time. I told him, hey, man, I'll go with you. But I didn't tell him what to expect. I didn't tell him that there would be dips and turns and all that. I just said, ride this ride with me. And I know it's not the best dad move, right? And so this boy gets on this roller coaster. And it's all smiles and joy at the very beginning. And it starts to click and clack towards the top. He's getting a little nervous. It's getting high. And then it drops, it dips, it turns, it loops, it ends. And then this traumatized kid steps off this roller coaster. His eyes are wide. He keeps it together, low key. But I could look at his face and I could tell two things. One, I should have prepared him. And two, this kid is never riding a roller coaster again. And that's true. Until this day, he hasn't. And listen, it's on me. Listen, I declared that I was with him, but I should have prepared him what the journey on the roller coaster ahead would be like. I should have said, hey, listen, man, when you get to the top, you're gonna be scared, but listen, I'm with you and I got you. I should have said, hey, listen, when you go down, your stomach is gonna drop. It's not gonna feel all that good, but I'm with you and I got you. I should have told him that when you're in that loop, and your life is literally upside down. Hey, bro, I'm with you and I got you. Listen, I should have assured him of my presence, but also described what the journey ahead was gonna look like so he wasn't caught off guard. And listen, what I described is a true story, but that is also a parable for the Christian life. Because listen, for many of us, we enter into the Christian life not really knowing what to expect. We're so excited. We've come to Christ. Life makes sense. You're filled with so much joy, and we can think, this is it. My life will always be up and to the right. And then the dip comes, the loops come. And for many of us, we can get to the point where we're tugging in our seat, saying, let me off this ride. And what I love about God is this. Say, he's a better father than me.
Amen.
Listen, he prepares us for the journey ahead. He shows us what life with him is actually like. And one of the places that he does that in scripture is the Psalms. What I love about the Psalms is this, is that the Psalms are the prayer book of the Bible. The Psalms is where we get to see the inner lives of those who walk with God.
Amen.
And what we should see, what we see should comfort us. Because in the Psalms, you see people who are going through what you go through.
Yes.
What I love about the Psalms is, listen, you get stressed out, you see it there. Do you get happy? You see it there. Do you get joyful? You see it there. Do you get depressed? You see it there. Do you get annoyed and angry with people? You see it there. And what the Psalms reveal is this, that life with God will have its highs and it'll have its lows. It'll have its heights, it'll have its depths. It'll have its dips, it'll have its turns, and God is God through it all.
Amen.
God is God through it all. Listen, there's not an experience that you can have in the Christian life from which you cannot seek and experience God.
Amen.
Listen, God's phone is never on, do not disturb.
Amen.
Listen, God invites us to seek him from wherever life finds you, whether it's high, whether it's low, whether it's up, where it's down. And in this glorious book called the Psalms, there's a number of practices. If we're gonna seek God in any season of life, there are a number of practices that we need to learn. So in this series, we're gonna talk about practices of worship. We're gonna talk about praise. We'll talk about that today. Next week, we'll talk about lament. And then we'll also talk about thanksgiving. So Psalm 95 is a psalm of praise. And I love this psalm because it helps us understand that praise is something that you can practice wherever life finds you. And so Psalm 95, let me read the first three verses again. It says, oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. And let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. Why? For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods.
Amen.
Listen, in this psalm, you got one person calling to a whole bunch of people and encouraging them to praise and worship God. And we see this praise in the form of exuberant singing and noise and thanksgiving. And the question you should have is, why are they encouraged to do this? They're not encouraged to just do all this just because. You see the reason in verse 3. It says, for the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. Which should lead us to a definition of praise. You know what praise is? Praise is to affirm and declare the greatness of God. Praise is to affirm and declare the greatness of God. We actually see this throughout this whole psalm. What I love about this psalm is that it declares that we're to praise God with our whole self.
Amen.
Psalms 1 and 2 declares that we should praise God with our emotions. You see, 1 and 2, you see this emotional response. We're called to sing. We're called to make joyful noise. And then later down, you see in verses 6 to 7, that we are called to worship God with our wills. We're called to submit to him, to bow to him in reverence. That's a volitional response. That's an act of the will. And listen, in both times, in verses 1 and 2 and 6 and 7, the people of God are simply told to do this, not just because they're doing it in response to the goodness of God. We praise God for who he is. But listen, I don't know if you've ever thought this. I know younger in my faith, I used to think this. Why is the Bible constantly commanding us to praise God? Why is the Bible constantly commanding us to do this? Throughout the Bible, the writers are always encouraging us, praise the Lord, and even God tells us to praise him.
Because listen, in my mind, I'm thinking, listen, if you gotta tell me to praise you, that seems a little self-centered and insecure, right? So why is it fine for the scriptures to tell us to praise God? Here it is, y'all. When other people demand you to praise them, it's not for your benefit, it's for theirs. When people tell you to praise them, catch this. When people tell you to praise them, listen, it's to stroke their ego. It's to make them feel better about themselves. But catch this, y'all. When God tells us to praise him, it is not for his benefit. Listen, God commands your praise, but he doesn't need your praise. Listen, one of the attributes of God is this S-A-T word called aseity. Can you say aseity? Here it is. You know what that means? God needs nothing from you to be God.
Amen.
He needs nothing from you to be God. You can't add anything to God, and you can't take anything away from him. God never feels insecure. Listen, God never has a day where he needs your praise to boost his self-esteem. Listen, God is God all by himself. And to illustrate this point, or to show this point, I love Psalm 50:12. Because Psalm 50:12 says this about how much God needs us. It says this. It says, if I were hungry, I would not tell you. For the world and its fullness is mine. You know what that means? This verse isn't saying that God gets hungry. This verse isn't saying that he has an appetite like you and me. He's simply declaring this, that you got nothing that he needs. So just the other day, it's like 2 days ago, right? I leave the house with my three boys. And we got a rule at my house. Listen, last person out closes the door. So we go out, we're having a good time. We out for like 5 hours. We come back home, door is wide open. And so I use that as a dad, right? You know, it's not a dad fail, right? Actually, they did good on this one, right? I use this as an opportunity to explain to my kids why we should take care of things that are ours. And I got on a roll, right? I don't know how I ended up here, but I started talking about a mortgage and paying for that. I don't know, I kind of blacked out, right? And one of my kids was locked in. He stops me mid-sentence and talking about a mortgage. And he says, Dad, you need money? You need money? You need help with that? He said, yo, I got money in my piggy bank. And listen, I told him, thank you, I love you, I thank you, but listen, I got a little offended. Okay, this dude thought that I needed his help. This guy looked at me as if he could help me with the money that he has in his piggy bank I got for him. Listen, it felt a little insulting that he thought I needed something from him when every dollar that he has, he got from me.
Amen.
And y'all, listen to me. Here, it's insulting for me to believe that about my son. And listen to me. Listen to me this morning. It is insulting for you to believe that the God of the universe needs your praise. That God shaped your vocal cords. That God formed your lips. He put breath in your lungs. How can you say that he needs anything from you? And you might think that that diminishes you. That God doesn't need your praise, but it doesn't. God doesn't need your praise, but he wants your praise. He wants your praise. Why does he want your praise? You know why? Because God wants what's best for you.
Yes.
What's best for you? Listen, we don't praise God because he needs it. We praise God because we need it.
Amen.
We need it. Here's a simple point that I'll explain this morning. McLean Bible Church, praise the Lord because you need to.
Amen.
Listen, praise the Lord because you need to. Listen, in this chapter, everyone, catch this, y'all, in this chapter, everyone, regardless of what they have going on in life, are commanded to praise the Lord. And look at the reasons in verses 3-5. Verse 3, it says, for the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hands are the depths of the earth. The heights of the mountains are his also. The sea is his because he made it, and his hands form the dry land. I want you to hang with me for a second. These verses are calling the people of God to affirm not just that God is good, yes, that. But you see where it says that it says here that he is a great king above all gods? It's also telling us to say that God is better than anything else that we are tempted to call God. Listen, when God says in this verse that
that he holds the depths, the heights, the seas, and the dry land. You might not have caught this, but that is God flexing on the so-called gods of the day. Listen, during that time, the nations around Israel believed that God, so-called gods, had jurisdictions. They had turfs, kind of like gangs or something, right? They believed that Molech was the god of the depths, that Baal was the god of the heights, that Tiamat, that Canaanite god, was the god of the seas. And here, the assembly of God's people are called to affirm the greatness of God and to say, those guys don't run anything, God runs it all. Amen. And listen, here's what I want you to think about as we consider this. The whole assembly is told to say this. Think about the kinds of people that might be in the assembly that day. I want you to think about Tommy. I know that's not a particularly Hebrew name, but hang with me. Tommy's out there. He's encouraged to praise the Lord. And he's thinking, yo, you don't got to tell me twice. Life is good right now. My family is good. My kids are well. My crops are doing well. God, I can see it. I praise you that the whole world is in your hands. That's Tommy, but consider Timmy. Timmy's in the same assembly. Everybody's called to praise the Lord. And he's thinking, hold on, man, everything is wrong right now. I'm depressed. I'm anxious. Life at home isn't good. My kids are sick. My crops aren't cropping. God, are you in control? I'm actually tempted to see if one of these false gods can help turn my situation around. You know what I love about this, though? Both of them need to praise the Lord. Amen. Why? Catch this. Because praise is both a response to the goodness of God, and it is also a revolt against lies about God. Amen. Listen, in this text, we see praise as an affirmation of God's goodness and a revolt against the lies of false gods. Listen, the same praise serves both functions. Listen, I'll come home to you. This is why I don't need to know your situation this morning to tell you to praise the Lord. This is why. Listen, for many of you right now, life is good. Like, you're in a situation where you can clearly see what God is doing. You can see his hand all over your life. Listen, let me encourage you this morning to not keep silent, to praise the Lord. Listen, do not allow the goodness of this season to produce entitlement in you, as if you deserve what's happening in your life. Listen, you know how you stiff arm entitlement? When you start praising the Lord. It's when you declare, God, I'm here right now because you put me here. I am here right now because of not because of my goodness, but because of yours. Every good and perfect gift comes from you. You are God, whether I'm high or whether I'm low. Listen, when life is good, you know what we do? We praise the Lord. Amen. But listen, I know for some of you, it is hard for you to see the goodness of God right now. It's hard for you to see that God rules it all, that he has the whole world in his hands. Life is hard. You're suffering right now, and you are tempted to believe lies about God. Matter of fact, you're tempted to go back to the false gods you used to worship. You're disappointed with God, and you're tempted to go back to money or sex or approval. And may I gently encourage you this morning, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Why? Because it's praise that will help you hold on to who God has declared himself to be, even when life is lying to you. Listen, praise is not you pretending that everything is good. You know what praise is? It's you declaring that when life isn't good, God is. You know what that means? God is worthy to be praised, whether the bank account is full or whether the bank account is empty. God is worthy to be praised whether your friends come or whether your friends go. God is worthy to be praised whether we are in success or whether we are in failure. And so I don't apologize for saying this. McLean Bible Church, let's give God this morning a hand clap of praise. He's been good to us this morning. We praise him because of who he is. So why can we praise God? I want you to keep looking down. Look at verse 7. It further explains it. Verses 3 through 5 talks about how God holds the whole world in his hands. And what you see in verse 7 is that it gets real personal. The same God that holds the world is the same God that holds you and leads you and guides you. Look at verse 7. It says, for he is our God, and we are his people. We are the people of his pasture, the sheep of his hands. Listen, not only is God a great God, verse 7 says that he's our God. In this passage, it says that we are sheep. One of the most famous passages in the Bible about shepherd and sheep is Psalm 23. And what I love about Psalm 23 is that declares that we have a shepherd that will lead us beside still water and through green pastures, and he'll also lead us through the valley of the shadow of death. Amen. And even though our seasons might change, he remains the same yesterday, today, and forever. So this morning, listen to me. You don't got to be happy this morning in order to praise the Lord. Listen, praise isn't being fake. You can say at the same time, God, life ain't good, and yet you're good. Amen. Listen, praise the Lord, because in every single season, you need to. But also, we need to praise the Lord in every season, because your neighbor needs it too. We need to praise the Lord, because your neighbor needs it too. Look at verses 6 and 7 yet again. Verses 6 and 7, it says, "Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the sheep of his pasture, and we are the people of his pasture, the sheep of his hand." What I want you to catch is not just these verses, but the entire psalm. It's all plural pronouns. You see a lot of us's and we's and ours revealing, catch this, y'all, we need to understand this, that an important aspect of praise is doing it with other people. It's doing it with other people. Y'all, this is helpful for us because many of us can believe that praise is just something that's internal and individual and intellectual. But this psalm declares that praise should not simply be a private affair. That when the people of God gather together on days like this, we should praise him publicly together. So here's my question for you this morning. How public is your praise? How public is your praise? Here's now, I want to be careful. Now listen, I get it. I'm not talking about personality here. I don't want to make anybody feel bad because you're more introverted. You are more reserved. It is possible even to worship very loudly and have hearts that are far from God. Listen, it'll look differently depending on your personality. But let me tell you this morning. Your praise cannot remain private. Your praise cannot remain private. Listen, the scriptures even tell us to sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to one another as acts of worship and praise. And have you ever considered why? Here's why. Our praise is an invitation for other people to see the greatness of God. Amen. Our praise is an invitation for other people to see the goodness of God. Listen, your praise is a witness. Your praise is a witness. So listen, there was a play a few years back, I think it was about a decade ago, that everybody was talking about for weeks, and I remember watching it in real time. It was a rookie wide receiver, Odell Beckham Jr. It was the Giants playing the Cowboys, and he caught a ball in the end zone, and it felt like an impossible catch. This dude stretched back, one-handed catch, somersault backwards into the end zone, and I watched it by myself. And I felt compelled to call almost everybody that I knew to ask, "Did you see that catch?" Remember calling a friend of mine who was not watching the game, and I said, "Bro, I just saw the greatest catch I've ever seen in my entire life." And I don't know what I called this dude, because this dude doesn't even watch football. But listen, because he heard my joy and he saw my praise, he wanted to go see it too. Y'all, I want you to catch that. On the phone, I affirmed and declared the greatness of Odell Beckham Jr. And when I did that, my friend, who didn't even like football, was attracted to it and sought it out as well. Listen, this psalm of praise is filled with communal language because the people around you need to see you declare the goodness of God. Listen, there are people on your block right now. They need to hear you affirm and declare the goodness of God. You know what it's called when a Christian goes out and declares the goodness and the greatness of God and his salvation to somebody who's not a Christian? You know what that's called, y'all? That's called evangelism. Amen. And not only do the people in our block need to hear us declare the goodness of God, catch this, the people around you this morning need to see you and hear you declare the goodness of God. Amen. They need to. Listen. You know why? Because there are people on your row right now who are barely hanging on. It is so hard through the darkness of their lives for them to see clearly how good God is. And so they need to see the greatness of God through your eyes. Listen, your singing, your lifted hand,
Your reverence helped them to hold on to God that they're barely hanging on to. NBC, let me encourage you this morning. Let's not be the kind of people who are public with our pain and private with our praise. And listen, I'm not telling you to suffer in silence. I'm not telling you that. Because even next week, we'll talk about lament, that God encourages us to bring him, even out loud, all of our pain, all of our suffering, and that's a way that we worship him. But for too many of us, catch this, y'all, we think that authenticity is being so open about your struggles and being so private about your praise. And I want you, when you experience the goodness of God, to keep the same energy. This is what we need to do. Listen, so many of us are so verbal about our complaints, and yet we gather in worship with our arms crossed, and our excuses are, well, I worship, I'm worshiping God on the inside. And what this psalm is saying is whatever you got going on in the inside, you need to go ahead and let it out. That's what we need to do. Listen, a healthy Christian is someone who opens their mouths and praise the Lord. Amen. Listen, C.S. Lewis puts it this way. It's a long worded quote, but it was helpful to me. He said it this way. He said, I had not noticed how the humblest and at the same time most balanced and capacious minds praise most, while the cranks, misfits, and malcontents praise least. The good critics found something to praise in many imperfect works. The bad ones continually narrowed the list of books we might be allowed to read. The healthy and unaffected man, even if luxuriously brought up and wildly experienced in good cookery, could praise a very modest meal. The dyspeptic and the snob found fault with it all. And catch this, except where intolerably adverse circumstances interfere, praise always seems to be inner health made audible. Listen, we praise to God because it's healthy for the Christian. And we praise God out loud because our neighbor needs to hear it. Listen, you need it. Your neighbor needs to hear it. But here's my last charge for you. Praise the Lord this morning because your future needs it. Amen. Praise the Lord this morning because your future needs it. Where do we see that? Look at verse 7. I'll read through the end. It says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as at Meribah, as on the day at Massah in the wilderness, when your fathers put me to the test and put me to the proof, though they had seen my work. For 40 years I loathed that generation and said, there are people who go astray in their heart and they have not known my ways. Therefore, I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. You know what you see here? You see a warning. And so let me take a moment to explain it. Psalm 95 takes us all the way back to Exodus 17. It takes us back to the fact that God had rescued his people from slavery in Egypt. He took a whole sea, he split it into two. They're moving steadily towards the promised land. They set up camp in a particular city, and when they pull up to this camp, there's no water to drink. And they should know that's not an issue, because they just two-stepped on dry land that God has split. And so they should say, listen, God, if you split the waters, you can provide us with water right now. But instead of believing in God, this text says that they hardened their hearts, and as a result, they forfeited the rest that God had purchased for them in the promised land. Can I ask you a question? What is a hardened heart? I'll put it this way. A hardened heart is a heart that's incapable of affirming and declaring the goodness of God. Amen. It's a heart that has been so hardened that it's impossible for that heart to any longer affirm and declare how great God is. And I don't think it's an accident that this warning is taking place in the midst of our community praising God. Amen. It's almost like the psalm is telling us, don't stop praising the Lord. Because when God's people stop praising him, a hard heart isn't far behind. I'll put it this way. If you want to cling to Christ in the future, well, you need to keep praising him in the present. If you want to cling to Christ in the future, you need to keep praising him in the present. Y'all, think about Israel. Do you know how long it took them to go from praising God because he rescued them to declaring in Exodus 17, pretty much, God, where are you? They declared in Exodus 17:7, is the Lord among us or not?
You know how long it took them to go from praising God to saying that? Around 2.5 weeks. Listen, at some point over those 2.5 weeks, the people of God shifted from praising God to wondering if he's good after all. And listen, the scriptures warn us that the same thing can happen to you too. Hebrews 3 picks up on Psalm 95. And Hebrews 3 is addressing Christians. And it says this. It says, "Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold to our original confidence firm to the end. As it is said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion." Hebrews 3 pulls from Psalm 95. And the question that we should have from this test is this. Do you know how we exhort one another? Do you know how we hold our confidence firm to the end? It's this. Whether you're high or whether you're low, whether there's been a dip or whether there's been a turn in your life, do not stop declaring the goodness of God. Amen. Don't stop doing it. Amen. Don't stop doing it. And hey, catch this, y'all. I know for many of y'all, it's hard to do it right now. But can I encourage you with something? You got a reason this morning to praise the Lord. Amen. You may not be able to stare at your circumstances and see it right now. Your circumstances may be dark. But what I love is that you got a reason to praise the Lord, because to praise him doesn't always involve looking at your circumstances. To praise him always evolves, though, looking back 2,000 years ago. Because 2,000 years ago, we had a Savior named Jesus who came. Listen, we sinned against God. We rebelled against God. We forfeited the rest that is ours in God through our sin. And yet God did not leave us in this state. We got a God who came. We got a God who sent his only son, Jesus Christ, for us. Jesus Christ came and lived the life that we did not live, the sinless life. And yet he died on the cross for our sin, taking the punishment that we deserve. And he didn't stay dead. He rose again in power, proving that he's victorious over your sin, over Satan, death, and the grave, creating a people who, because of our sin, we did not deserve the rest of God. And yet through the work of Jesus Christ, we can enter into the rest. We can enter into it. I love this about our God. He is the God through the highs and the lows. We can praise him this morning because he's our Savior. We can praise him this morning because he's our deliverer. We can praise him this morning because every good and perfect gift comes from him. We can praise him this morning because he's the lover of our souls. He never leaves us and he never forsakes us, and he knows what he's doing. Even when you're in the dark, and catch this, y'all, we can praise him because he'll get us home. He will get us home. But Claim Bible Church, let's praise him. Yes. If today is today, let's praise him. Yes. Until the day that we hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Yes. Amen. Yes. So we'll go home on this. There is a theologian, his name is Kosuke Kayama. And he wrote those words where Jesus utters, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And he imagined what Jesus might say to him on the day of his death when he sees Jesus. And his words struck my soul. He said this. He said he dies, he sees Jesus, and he imagined Jesus saying this. "You've had a difficult journey. You must be tired. You must be dirty. Let me wash your feet. The banquet is ready." I love it, y'all. Listen. Praise the Lord today, saints. Praise the Lord because you need it, your neighbor needs it, and your future needs it. Cling to Christ today. And let's do this. I got a couple of questions for you to consider. And after you do, either myself or someone from your location will take it from there. Let's consider these together. Father, we praise your holy name. We praise you. There's no one better than you. We declare, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Father, teach our hearts to bless you, even in the moments where we're tempted to forget. Father, may our praise not simply be a response to our emotions in the moment. And may our praise be a response to the truth that we have been purchased by the living God through the shed blood of his Son, Jesus Christ. That we have every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, that your promises are true and you will get us home. And so, Father, under the sound of my voice, I pray for those who have yet to believe and trust in you. I pray that today will be a day that they praise you because of your great salvation, that you will save them and draw them to yourself. Father, I pray for those whose life is going well right now. I pray that they will understand that every good and perfect gift comes from you, so they'll open their lips and praise you. And I pray for those for whom life is hard right now. There's suffering going on and there's pain going on right now. I pray that they will praise you anyhow. Pray that they'll rehearse your promises and that you will use the praise flowing from their lips, Father, to encourage their souls, that trouble won't last always. Father, we love you, we trust you, we thank you. And I pray these things in the matchless name of Jesus Christ. If you agree, say,
amen,
amen, amen. Let's give God a hand clap of praise yet again. It's been so good to us.